Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A lyric. Akila.
My name is Kerry O'Sullivan, 18 years old.
Azaria.
I flew from Dublin into JFK and then JFK to San Juan.
Carlos.
My name is Malcolm Murby. I'm 17 years old and I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Christopher. Destiny.
I'm Nabila Abbas. I am a social activist from Pakistan.
Daphne.
My name is Prince Agrawal and I'm originally from Nepal. This is my first time representing my country, Nepal, in the International Congress of Youth Voices.
Picture this, 131 young people, 13 to 26 years old, from 37 countries.
I'm Peter Filatov. I come from Moscow. It's in Russia, obviously.
My name is Salvador Gomez-Colón. It's really nice to be here to have 126 youth come together so we can make some real change in the world.
Youth activists from around the globe.
Matilda Bandadunsborg. I'm 15 years old, from Denmark. People call me Climate Chick at my school.
Esperanza Rivera, I'm 16 years old and I'm from Chicago.
Two major issues I'm very passionate about are immigration rights and gun violence.
Students, writers, poets, marchers, community leaders, all gathered together in San Juan, Puerto Rico in August 2019, the week after the scandal-ridden government of Governor Ricardo Rossello fell, brought down in large measure because of the resolve and activism of young people across the Hurricane Maria battered island.
Puerto Ricans are frustrated about corruption, the debt crisis, and a slow recovery following Hurricane Maria. They're also upset about leaked chat messages where the governor had made sexist and homophobic remarks and mocked constituents, including those who died during Hurricane Maria.
Nearly a week after Governor Ricardo Rossello's messages were leaked, protesters continue to demonstrate outside of his home, demanding his resignation.
This wasn't part of the plan for the second meeting of the International Congress of Youth Voices. It was pure coincidence. But here they all are, coming from across the planet, jet-lagged and lit from within, to learn from one another and an array of artists, writers, and activists, to create a network, to tell their stories, to listen, and to understand the forces that led this island to erupt.
It's a bizarre thing to turn on, you know, your phone, go on Twitter, and see millions of people in the streets of Puerto Rico, and then have it register that I'm about to be there.
My name is Harris Hosseini. I'm 18 years old. To have an International Congress of Youth Activists and Writers and Speakers come together at right now what might be in the world, this epicenter of peaceful protest and of the power of the people, you know, I cannot think of a better place to have it.
Today on the podcast, the Kitchen Sisters present Youth on Fire, the International Congress of Youth Voices.
My name is Yasmin Jabber. I am 16 years old and I live in Chesterfield, Virginia. This is my first year here. It's a Congress of Youth trying to make change in their communities and like the entire world. We create a manifesto of what we're trying to get done and what our values are, and then hopefully throughout the year, get it done. I do love talking about things. I'll talk about social justice all day, every day, but then, you know, I wouldn't have any friends. So I had to create kind of an outlet for that. So I have a podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Was It Something I Said? I'm your host, Yasmin. It's been a few months since my last podcast. School has really just taken over my life. But today, I'm going to be talking about mass shootings in America. There have been 307 mass shootings in America this year. However, I haven't heard about 307 mass shootings. I think the coverage is dwindling. There's not that same outrage there was a few years ago. And I think that, you know, we gotta keep that. But we'll come back to that later. So President Trump tweeted. There's two tweets.
My name is Dave Eggers, one of the staffers for the International Congress of Youth Voices. We started this writing center in San Francisco called 826 Valencia, and I used to teach high school students there. And then when 826 spawned dozens of other centers like it around the world, Stockholm, Melbourne, or Santiago, I would meet their writers, and we would put anthologies of their writing together over the years, but they never really got to meet. It occurred to me that you have the AARP or you have the NRA on the evil side of things. What you don't have is a lobbying group or any kind of politically powerful entity that speaks for the rights of young people and their generation.
My name is Zainab Nasrati. I am 23. I am a medical student. I got together with a group of youngsters and we started a radio station, a Radio Y in Copenhagen. The Y because we want to ask questions and to be able to put a light on issues that we think are important, because media ain't always doing that rightfully.
And I kept thinking, Zainab, who I met in Copenhagen, could meet Gilda here in San Francisco, and if they could meet Vivian Pham from Sydney, and, you know, they all had an activist spirit, and they might be able to sort of really dream up great things together.
My name is Vivian Pham, and I'm a delegate from Sydney, Australia. I came to the International Congress of Youth Voices last year. There were really accomplished young people, as young as like 13, and all of them were interested in the societies they lived in and making their own societies a better place. The first day was on a boat, a ferry around San Francisco. Probably the most important thing that happened on that day was John Lewis was there, and he gave a really great speech on that boat.
You're a good-looking group. You look beautiful, handsome, young, and very smart. I grew up in rural Alabama, 50 miles from Montgomery. I saw the signs that said white men, colored women, white waiting, colored waiting. I asked my mother, my father, my grandparents, why? They would say, that's the way it is. Don't get in the way, don't get in trouble. But growing up there, seeing people been put down because of the color of their skin, I was deeply inspired by what I saw happening in Montgomery, Alabama, in 1955, when I was 15 years old in the 10th grade. I was inspired to get in the way, to get in trouble, what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. And you see something that is not right or not just. You have a moral obligation to say something, to do something, and not to be silent. You have to speak out and be leaders. Lead the way. Get in trouble. Good trouble, necessary trouble. In 1958, I met Martin Luther King Jr. And we started studying the way of peace, nonviolence. Dr. King taught us that hate is too heavy a burden to bear. The way of love is a much better way. And we have to have the capacity to forgive and move toward the building of what Gandhi, of what Dr. King and others call the beloved community. Wherever part of the world that you come from, have the courage, raw courage, to stand up, to speak up, to speak out, and get in the way and get in good trouble, necessary trouble. You can build a beloved community. You can help redeem our world. Save our little planet. Save our little spaceship. As Dr. King said, we learn to fly in the air like birds, swim in the water like a fish, but we have not yet learned to walk on the face of the planet like human. We can do better, much better. Thank you very much.
So we're here at the second annual International Congress of Youth Voices. My name is Itumeleng Khosikadiaga Banda. I'm a 21-year-old female, and I come from Alexandra Township within the north of Johannesburg in South Africa. When I was on my way here last year, I didn't know why I was coming. I mean, I was excited because it was my first international trip. I met so many young people who are so passionate about what they do, who know what it is that they want in life. I come from a community and a township where you walk outside and there's no hope at all. Every time, and it always happens when we're having supper, a pop sound will go off, bullets going off. My mother will say, ah, that's another one gone. People die every single day, and it's become a norm. I was born into a family of white people. My mother was a domestic worker. They were her white employers, so she was an employee. I was raised by these white people. I was in preschool. There was a day where I was going out to school. I was waiting for the driver to come collect me, and the thugs came in. They used duct tape to tie us up. Even in the main house, the employers were also tied up. My sister was crying, my mom was crying. They asked for the safe, and my mother said she doesn't know where the safe is. My mother just pleaded with them, if you're gonna do anything, just don't hurt my children. They said she was talking too much, and the guy took the back of the gun and slammed her across the head. She spent several months in hospital. We didn't think she was going to make it, but she did make it. The white people were like, we can't stay in South Africa anymore. We're moving to Australia. So for me, when I heard those news, I was excited because I'm like, I'm leaving because they were my family. But that wasn't the case. They were leaving and I was staying in South Africa. When we moved into the township, all my privileges were gone. We moved into a one-room house. I'm so used to having my own space. I'm so used to showering in the morning and now I need to bath in a dish. The only thing that didn't change was the fact that I still went to a Model C school. My mother, with every little cent she had, she put everything into my education. I would go home and be like, Mom, at school, this is what's happening, and I don't think I'll make it because I'm from Alex. And she would tell me that, no, you're getting the same education as those people. You go to the school, you speak the same language as them. They understand you when you speak. I don't want the next generation to worry about going to school and worrying if they're going to be safe on the roads. Will they make it back home? Will they be able to study in peace? I need to be the voice of those people who have experienced gun violence. Something needs to be done. Something can be done. It won't happen overnight, but eventually if we stand together and we talk about it, maybe your story can provide healing to someone else's on the other side.
I'm Amanda Yuli, co-founder of the International Congress of Youth Voices. We looked at so many things when we talked about where to hold the second year of the International Congress of Youth Voices. We knew that the history of Puerto Rico and the island being a U.S. territory, history of colonialism, we knew that that was immensely important. We knew that a year and a half prior, Hurricane Maria had come to the island, and the devastation and the challenges that the people here faced, we didn't know what would happen this summer. The political uprising, July 25th, that forced Governor Rosello to resign. And we are here on August 7th.
And the fact that it was pretty much a youth-led movement to overthrow Rosello peacefully, creatively, I think that captured our delegates' imagination.
Bienvenido. Welcome, everyone. My name is Chinaka Hodge. I'll be your host tonight and be your host through the rest of the week at open mics. I'm from Oakland, California. I'm a writer. I write poetry and screenplays. We're going to have an opportunity to hear from more from the activists who demand it and are getting the change here in Puerto Rico.
We were standing on top of the barricade, reading the Constitution aloud at 11 p.m. at night in front of the governor's building. We read Puerto Rican traditional Hispanic bedtime stories on a huge speaker. They would put the Constitution to sleep because of what the police were doing illegally.
There were people protesting, riding their bicycles. There were people showing up on the coast of San Juan in their jet skis, people in their horses.
We gave out the Puerto Rican Bill of Rights among the multitude.
Everyone at 8 p.m. goes out of their houses with their pots and pans and bangs on it.
If you have a great idea, just throw it out there. I don't know. You don't know what might happen. Look at what happened here. We had a march with a million people.
Hello, delegates. What up, though? Y'all feeling good?
We had all of the delegates gathered in this big outdoor, you know, annex to the restaurant, roofed but open air, and a bunch of big picnic tables. And then they got to start an open mic. They got to hear from each other, and
all right, hello.
Some of the students were spoken word performers. The Russian delegate read Pushkin in English and Russian.
Александр Пушкин. Духовной жаждою томим, в пустыне мрачной я влачился, и шестикрылый Серафим на перепутье мне явился.
My spirit was a thirst for grace, I wandered in a darkened land, and at the crossing of the ways beheld a six-winged seraph stand.
My name is Serafima Masintsova. I'm 19 years old and I'm from St. Petersburg, part of the International Union of Writers in Russia. There was an open mic and I decided to read Pushkin's poetry because I think people around were presenting their art, and I decided that we should also have some background from the countries we are going from. Presenting Pushkin is like representing Russia in some way. It was the poem called Prophet, about how people sometimes are lost in the world, but then something comes to their mind and they realize that they have something to do in the world.
Who else want to come on stage and use their voice?
All the world comes, all the will be one, with the rise of the sun.
I'm always amazed by how bold and comfortable so many teenagers are with the microphone. A lot of students just were emboldened by the wide variety of voices and just decided to get up and say something.
Next up to the microphone, all the way from Nepal, please put your hands together for Prince.
Student from Nepal, Prince Agrawal.
How are you guys doing? Ladies and gentlemen, this is my pleasure standing in front of you all, representing my country, Nepal.
We talked about using the example of Puerto Rico, but comparing it to Nepal, where they demanded a new government, but they ended up with a communist government that they don't, or he doesn't, love right now. So he says, be careful what you wish for sometimes, because even in a democratically elected system, you could end up with a government that might not be in your best interest or to your liking.
We raise our voices to change. We raise our voices to get a freedom. However, we didn't think of the change that we are going in 10 years. That was a mistake we did. But we'll make our voices more effective in coming future. Thank you.
On the microphone, absolutely next, 17 years old from New Orleans, Louisiana. Please put your hands together for Akila.
So I'm going to show you a poem. With my overbearing blackness, bothered by my black body. Overbearing blackness, bothered by my black body. Overbearing blackness, bothered by my black body. They want to. Oppress, suppress, distress, dispossess. Mute my microphone, let my voice be unknown. Because I evoke my experiences, my existence. Because I refuse to be swallowed and consumed in a room swabbed with whiteness and entitlement, oozing out of the cracks of classroom walls, when white women and men in textbooks and novels stare at me and laugh in my face because they know the legacy lives ever on. Lynching my brain over and over, dunking my head in Middle Passage waters, sucking my presence like leashes suck adolescent bodies in lakes. And the words...
We'll be right back. The Kitchen Sisters Present is supported by Sakara, a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you eat. Their organic, ready-to-eat meals are made with powerful plant-based ingredients. Their menu of creative chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners changes weekly, and it's delivered fresh anywhere in the U.S. You can ensure you're getting valuable plant nutrition every day with the Foundation, the brand's curated vitamin packs. Sakara has received great reviews from Vogue, Goop, The New York Times, and more. And right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/kitchensisters or enter code kitchensisters at checkout. That's Sakara, sakara.com/kitchensisters to get 20% off your first order. sakara.com/kitchensisters.
My name is Felicia Wong, Programs Manager for the International Congress of Youth Voices. I spent countless hours last year just Googling youth activists Nepal, youth activists Bangalore, youth activists Haiti. Then I would find them on Facebook or on Instagram and contact them and invite them to apply. Some of these delegates only have access to the internet through an internet cafe, or don't have access to the internet at all. And every year I read these student applications, their reason for applying for this. Freshta Torejan, one of her many reasons was, I was a religious minority in Afghanistan. My family has been persecuted for their beliefs. I had to run. And I'm here to tell the world my story so this doesn't happen again.
We're gonna call up another delegate who's gonna talk about overcoming. So let's welcome Freshta Torejan to the stage.
Hi guys, my name is Freshta and I'm from Afghanistan. I left home 4.5 years ago when the Taliban shut down my school. The government was after my family for so long. My siblings were just kind of dispersed all over the place. In order for us to survive, like, we all had to live separately, so in case one of us get caught, then the rest of us can survive. I got into boarding school in Texas, got a scholarship there. It was too dangerous for me to go home, and my mom couldn't have me there. I, like, grew up on my own all over the place, and the Taliban took in my dad. Friends killed by the Taliban, and these were friends that I grew up with that, you know, I thought that would be at my wedding, we'd go to school together. Those events made me promise myself that I'd be on a mission to fight their fight. This is the first time where I've actually seen youth not scared to speak up. I'm so thankful that I get this opportunity. Being a part of this great body of leaders who are fighting for justice from all over the world.
Rani Vyartha, I'm 19 years old. I'm from San Jose, California. I do poetry. I went last year to the International Congress of Youth Voices in San Francisco. My poetry teacher got me, like, in the year previously. I did a speech on homelessness and mental health. It was basically about my experience. I was homeless at the time. I was 16, 17, 18 years old. We would couch surf at, like, our friends' houses. We would stay in the car a lot of the time outside of Burger King because my whole family worked there. That was where we would get the majority of our food. I live in San Jose working with my tia now, but I'm her in-home caretaker, so I live with her now. But I do remind myself that I not only have to take care of her, but I have to take care of myself as well. I know that I'm going in a positive direction, so I feel like that's all I could really ask for.
It's been more than 4 months since Hurricane Maria tore across Puerto Rico, and after all of this time, nearly 500,000 people still don't have power. There's this 15-year-old. He's from San Juan, and he's taking action. He's raising money to buy portable solar-powered lamps and hand-operated washing machines for people in those hardest-hit areas. And you know what? It's worked! He's delivered more than 1,000 of those solar-powered lamps, and he is with us now, Salvador Gomez Colon. Thank you for being here, Salvador. How is it that you were able to raise so much money, and what is the number you're up to now?
First of all, thank you for having me. So far, I've been able to raise over $130,000. That is through the online crowdfunding platform and through a corporate donation.
One of our delegates, Salvador Gomez Colon, is from here. And Salvador and his family were able to help make a lot of amazing things possible.
I was with my mother and my two grandparents in my house during Maria. I had shutters that were flying off. Everything you've built to keep you safe does no longer work. And the, like, the whirring and the buzzing, and it felt surreal. No electronics, with no TV, with no internet. Everything feels like the world has stopped and we're back in the Ice Age.
Yo soy valiente, el miedo no me suena, porque cuando hay dudas siempre los puedo matar. Soy diferente.
I'm Precious Perez, I'm 21 and I'm from Boston. I'm studying music education and performance at Berklee College of Music in Boston. My goal is to use my platform as a singer-songwriter to represent all of the communities I'm a part of. For example, I'm blind, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm a woman, I have anxiety from low income, so like all these different communities. And I want to use my platform to give those people a voice.
As a blind person, you are an activist. When you're walking down the street and you go and you pick up Taco Bell, like, people in the background are going, holy shit, that blind guy just bought a taco, like, how did he do that? That's crazy. All throughout our lives, we're representing our community, and we are the face of people's perceptions of blind people.
I'm Shane Lowe, and I'm 19 years old from Louisville, Kentucky. I do audio engineering. I'm a musician. I play percussion for Precious.
We met online 6 years ago. She studied in Valencia and of course started the career at Berklee. We are engaged. This past March, and I heard this newfangled thing called the International Congress of Youth Voices was seeking delegates, and was interested.
He was telling me about like the Congress and everything, and I was like, dude, I'm from Puerto Rico and you're going without me? What is this? Because I'm super passionate about activism. I work on a local level with the National Federation of the Blind. I run the student division in Massachusetts.
I'm trying to make strides in the music education field because Berklee's never had a blind student in music education. So when I first applied to be a part of that major, all of the faculty sitting around and they're asking, well, how are you going to manage a classroom? And I was like, well, I make adaptations. You tell me your concerns, I figure out how to adapt them, and we make it work. Because I shouldn't not have access to these opportunities that everybody else has just because you haven't dealt with them before.
I'm Peter Pilatov. I come from Moscow.
There is actually currently a huge wave of protests in Moscow, violently suppressed by the police. There have been more than 3,000 people arrested and countless numbers of people hurt. Although none of the protests since 2012 succeeded, we're not losing hope. And the example of San Juan and Puerto Rico has given me belief and hope that it can all be done peacefully. Well, maybe not this summer, maybe not this year, not soon, but we will gain our rights back. Thank you.
My name is Edgar McGregor, and I am an amateur climatologist and environmental activist from Los Angeles, California. I'm 19 years old. Originally, I was very interested in meteorology, which is the study of weather. And so oftentimes, I would go stand outside in rainstorms. I'd watch the Weather Channel all day long. I was just very into it. But by the time I turned about 14 or 15, I started to notice weird weather events happening, such as heat waves in the wrong months, lightning storms in Southern California that occurred almost every week, which we didn't used to have. I pulled the records from the National Weather Service so I could understand on a statistical level how the weather was changing. And I discovered that in my city, temperatures have risen 6.4 degrees since 1908.
I'm also participating in a youth climate strike every Friday in front of Pasadena City Hall.
Along with Greta Thunberg, who is a Swedish climate activist who has been striking in front of the Swedish parliament every Friday since last August. So far, I've been a lone striker every weekend. It's kind of unfortunate that no one has yet discovered me.
But as many have told me, that doesn't matter, because all it takes is one person to stand up to the government who refuse to act on the climate crisis. That's how change starts, just one person.
My name is Judy Kyle Irakoze. I am Burundian and I live in Maine. I run my own nonprofit that works to empower young women. We do the work back in Maine with immigrant young girls who come to the country alone. Most of them get separated with their family during crisis when they come as refugees, like I was. We do also the work back in East Africa in refugee camps, where we work with young girls who are so vulnerable to teenage pregnancies, sexual violence, and sex trafficking. Back in my country, there is a war that has been going on for ages. My family and I were trying to find our way out of the country, and we took different buses. When I got a visa to come here, I was alone. I feel like politics are our everyday struggle, our everyday lives. We feel like we should be part of it. We should have a voice. We should talk about it. Most of the people who make decisions about us, they don't look like us. They are not young like us. So it's important that we push ourselves to be on those tables.
Okay, everybody, good morning. Welcome to the Capitol building of Puerto Rico. You're standing in one of the most unique Capitol buildings in the United States. Built on February.
Puerto Rican Senate in El Capitolio arranged for us to have like a Senate meeting chamber all day. You know, this beautiful, ornate, tiered room, you know, that had Supreme Court looking red leather chairs and
that the goal is for us to think about how will the Congress function?
Size of the Congress. What should its priorities be? How do you want to gather or coordinate? All of these different things.
What's good, y'all? I think goal should be that every delegate here, whether you're returning or new, feels like they have a place in the Congress that they're comfortable.
We did this last year in the War Memorial Building in San Francisco, where the UN was originally devised, and they had come up with a manifesto.
Salvador, you want to read the manifesto?
Yes. We are a network of empowered youth voices from around the globe that strive to take action for the world we wish to see. We recognize the issues that threaten human rights within our generation. Let's counteract them by implementing innovative solutions in the areas of health, education, social justice, security, and the environment. Our vision is to create a global system which encourages youth to take action for what they believe in, even when others might not. We intend to bring a bright light to the world's most pressing issues and promote sustainable solutions by the youth, for the youth. Intersectionality.
The group that was with Mariela, come with me a little bit more closer. But you need to remove the roots with the pickaxe and just like that. Otherwise, in 2 weeks, it will grow like this again. And it's really, really difficult to maintain the area if you don't do that. That's why I call the wetland my CrossFit gym. Because you will get fit like that.
Marcy Mazza-Fredley from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am 17 years old. Today is a service cleanup day where we are going to help relieve some of the cleanup after the Hurricane Maria.
We have to cut down the giant reed. It's an invasive species and it's preventing the mangrove trees from growing. And it grows super fast. You have to rip it out by the root, which is extremely difficult. And if you don't rip it out by the root, you cut it down, you come back a month later, it's above your head.
It feels very cathartic to be able to help in any way. My name is Ashla Chavez Rosano. I'm 18 years old. I've always felt very connected to the earth, which is kind of counterintuitive because I'm from deep city Los Angeles. But ever since I took a botany course, I've just always really wanted to be surrounded by nature. The earth is often not considered as a living, breathing thing.
You plant a tree, you take a wire, and this is an ID tag. It's like the social security number of the plant. You go like this, The yellow and the pink and the red represent what tree are you guys are going to be planting?
I'm Malia Hall. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, 17. I guess the most thing that I enjoyed was today, like service day, and spending time with like a lot of the people that I've made relationships with. I've seen a lot of teamwork today. The most fun I had was doing the trees, planting the trees, because I got to name them. It was fun. I did like a 90s thing for naming our trees, so I have Kenan and Kel, 90s Nick show that everyone used to watch on TV, Kenan and Kel.
Actually, I named a few different trees. I was kind of in like a Bob Ross mood because it's like a bunch of little happy trees.
Thought they would just do a fantastic little painting, just make up little stories. Give these trees names and stuff. Make them your friends. Talk to them.
I named one Marcus. I used to watch Bob Ross all the time with my friend Marcus. Shout out to Marcus. Now you have your own tree. My name is Corey Williams. I'm 16 years old and I'm from Ypsilanti, Michigan.
I think I put a lot of joy into it. With every hit, I think of how much prosperity it will bring. And every time I hit it, I'm like, okay, we're getting one step closer to bringing justice to, you know, helping Puerto Rico. My name is Freshta, and I'm from Kabul, Afghanistan. Our Afghanistan is like heavily dependent on agriculture. Growing up, we always had like fields of different plants that we would grow. Right around spring, my parents would make all the children like go outside and work on the fields from like morning until really late at night. I was a shepherd. When I wasn't taking the sheep on the mountains, I was also a gardener, a field worker. I love it. It's just kind of like remember the childhood memories that I had forgotten because I had like really strong PTSD and for like throughout high school I had forgotten a lot of things from my childhood, from being back at home. Like I got so much therapy and that's just starting to work, so my memory's finally starting to come back. So this was one of those things that I really enjoy that I got to do with my dad before he died. So one area that I hadn't focused on as much was just a whole environmental justice. So being here I saw that a lot of like the climate change activists, and some of us have even like started talking about getting together to work on future projects. Right now I live in Michigan and there's this whole, you know, the Flint water crisis. There's lead in the water, children are like facing a lot of horrible health issues. So I'll be working on a project with some of them of how we can get the governors, the legislators to actually pay attention to those areas. I've really enjoyed networking with all of these leaders. It's just such an honor to be with these people. Like I can already see them be presidents of countries, governors, in the UN, all over the place. We hold the world, and I think this is where like I really saw that vision coming to life.
What I loved was everybody's story and everybody's willingness to be vulnerable. Not only do you want to be heard, but everybody around you wants to hear you. And it's almost like a high that you get because not everybody hears you all the time, especially with teenagers. A lot of people are like, well, they're young and they have a bunch of time. Really, we don't have a lot of time. We are all affected by one another. And I love how everybody here affects everyone in a positive direction.
Youth on Fire, the International Congress of Youth Voices, was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, in collaboration with Rachel Templeton, Nathan Dalton, Brandy Howell, and Teddy Alexander. Mixed by Jim McKee. Story intern, Jonathan Shea. Thanks to all the delegates from around the country and around the world who came to Puerto Rico and shared their stories with us. There's more about these remarkable people and their photographs on our social media series, #YouthOnFire. Special thanks to the founders of the Congress, Dave Eggers and Amanda Yulee, and to D. Real Graham, writer Ed Reach Dantica, and political scientist Dr. Olivia Rudizibwa, and all the many others who spoke to the group and offered inspiration and wisdom. Thanks also to Syrian San Francisco youth delegate Keenan Miro, who works tirelessly for his Syrian community and who advised us about music for this show.
My name is Keenan Osama Miro, and I'm a 17-year-old 12th grader attending Mission High School in San Francisco. And I come from the oldest inhabited capital of the world, Damascus, Syria. I fled my country back in 2012 when a series of events unfolded that conflicted great danger upon my family members' lives as well as my own. What is happening in Syria has drove over 7 million people out of the country and displaced 14 million others. Imagine how powerful this world would be if we all stand together and work towards making this huge world a community for all of us.
British delegate Taryn Everdeen also gave us tips for the score.
I'm Taryn Everdeen, I'm 18, I'm from the UK. I'm a photographer and I'm really interested in youth art. Here, there are 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, they've started non-profits. They're doing things about the climate situation. The youth are taking that power to create change into their own hands and they're not leaving it for somebody else to do things.
Nabil Abbas in Pakistan has so many stories to tell. She just received the 2020 Diana Award for outstanding young people, selflessly creating and sustaining positive social change in memory of Diana, Princess of Wales, for her social and humanitarian works on behalf of women.
I'm Nabil Abbas, and I'm a social activist from Pakistan. I do work for women empowerment issues around the globe, and especially those women who are living in remote areas, because I'm also from a remote area of Pakistan. We have not been reaching 100% gender equality. 50% of the world population is comprising of women. We are holding half the sky. So this is one of the major issues, so we can't neglect it.
The pandemic may have temporarily grounded many of these young people all around the world. They may be grounded, but they are still in action, still making good trouble, necessary trouble. If you would like to support the work of the Congress and further the work of these global youth activists, you can make a contribution at internationalcongressofyouthvoices.com. This story begins our new series, Youth on Fire, stories of young activists and visionaries from around the world. We would love to hear from you if you are one or if you know one. Podcasts, social media, poetry, playlists, manifestos. Let us know what you're involved with. You can reach us at Kitchen Sisters on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, or on our website, kitchensisters.org. The Kitchen Sisters Present is part of Radiotopia from PRX, a curated network of extraordinary podcasts by independent producers. Funding comes from the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Robert Sillins Family Foundation, and listener contributions to the Kitchen Sisters Productions. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia from PRX.